Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
This is a Rogue Media Network podcast.
Hello, everybody. This is Micah Burgess. You're listening to My Doula Micah. Glad you joined me. I am going to be giving you guys an episode that has already been released. It is called Support Using Love Languages, and my husband has joined me for that one. And I'm releasing it again because he and I just celebrated our 31st anniversary. So proud of us and happy with our marriage and where we find ourselves, and just super, super blessed. And this episode not only covers love languages, which is, we're going to go into detail about that, which I find to be super, super important for any relationship. But then we're going to take it a step further. And if you are a loved one in the birthing room, how you can support your loved one, your spouse who's in labor, how you can support them using love languages. So take a listen. Hey, y'all. Are you an avid listener to My Doula Micah? And you want to be more involved, you want to support, you want to be a subscriber, you want to get ad-free podcasts, you want to see some video content or never before seen footage, extra additional content, maybe even some merchandise at a discounted price, and you want to benefit from that, then go to patreon.com/mydoulamicah and jump in to the fun. Hey, hey, hey. How are y'all doing? This is Micah Burgess. You're listening to My Doula Micah. So glad you're with me today. And I've got a big smile on my face because my favorite person in the whole wide world is sitting with me in here, my husband, Michael Burgess. Say hey.
Hello, everyone.
We've been married 30 years, you guys. We just recently celebrated our anniversary, and it has been so fun to celebrate our relationship together and our family, our 6 kids, our 4 grandkids, and we're just excited. Today I am covering a little bit more, a little bit at a deeper level. One of the episodes that I've already done, talking about a loved one's support in the birthing room. And I'm going to get a little bit more detailed and a little bit more specific, with a really great tool, I think, that a loved one can use. And I mean, obviously my husband's here in the room. He was at all of my births. He was a great support person for me, my spouse, my husband. And so we are going to talk about the 5 love languages. And this is a book written by Gary Chapman. And we've read this book. We have used it in our relationship. We have used it to help us with our kids. And I'm going to let Michael kind of give you guys a brief little synopsis summary to tell you kind of what the book is for. Go ahead, babe.
Yeah. So as Micah said, the book, Gary Chapman, he's a psychologist. And he wrote this book after doing relationship studies for many years. And it focuses on 5 different ways that people give and receive love. Mm-hmm. It's primarily concerned with how people receive love. Mm-hmm. Because if you are in a relationship, whether it's with a significant other, a spouse, your children, you want to be able to love them in a way that they can actually take it in.
For sure.
And so we all, because of our varied backgrounds, our growing up experiences, our life experiences, we have different ways that we do that. It's easier mm-hmm. in some respects, mm-hmm. Depending on how people do love us or how we interact with them. And so just generally the 5 different love languages are words of affirmation, quality time, gifts, acts of service, and physical touch. So that's the five different love languages.
Yeah. And, you know, Michael kind of touched on this. I mean, this is in general, okay? And many, many, many things fall under these five categories. And I guess the way I like to look at it is when you kind of figure out what your significant other, whoever we're talking about that you're wanting to love and love well, and we are able to kind of pinpoint one or two of those, wow, every time I do this, they really take it in. You know, like it carries them. You know, it's like an exclamation point of my love for them. It doesn't mean the other things don't matter. It just means when you do this thing, it's just, it multiplies in what it means to them and how it affects them. And so I'm going to take this into the childbirth world, y'all. And so if you are a loved one and you are attending a birth and you are there to bring support, one of the most significant ways that a loved one can bring support is that emotional support. And so that's kind of where I'm headed with this one and what this is going to do. So words of affirmation is just like what it sounds.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So people who have this particular love language really like to hear words spoken to them mm-hmm. about who they are, mm-hmm. What quality person they are, how important they are, mm-hmm. how proud you are of them.
Yeah.
Those sorts of things.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I will say this, all of us have some measure of wanting each of these sure. five things to be true.
Yes.
But there is a predominance. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's actually a couple of different ones mm-hmm. that are louder than the other ones. Mm-hmm. It's not that I don't respond. It's not that we don't respond to any of them. It's just that certain ones are a little bit louder. So people who are words of affirmation, who desire that, when you say something to them in a very positive and affirming yes. manner, it's a very, very big thing. And it speaks love to them very loudly.
Yeah. Yeah. So words of affirmation is definitely one of my love languages. And I'm going to say in childbirth, man, you cannot be singing a woman's praises loud enough when she's in the middle of this experience, because it is hard, y'all. It's hard. And their doubt is going to creep in, or fear sometimes. And so when your loved one is speaking those words of affirmation and that encouragement, I'm telling you, it is like you just poured fuel in my body, in my mind, in my emotions. And now I just found this a next gear to keep going, because I feel that love. I feel that support. It's showing up in a very real way for me.
Right. And I would think that for most women, regardless of what may be the predominant language, that this one mm-hmm. would be very helpful.
Very.
In the birth experience. Even if that may not be their primary love language, it definitely will carry some weight.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, here's some things to say, just a few little ideas. So anytime you can, you know, especially after a contraction, let's just use that as an example to be very specific. And she's, you know, it was a hard contraction. We've been doing this a while. It's obvious she's tired. I mean, being able to say, wow, that was amazing. You handled that contraction so beautifully. I'm so, so proud of you. You've got this. Like, you keep doing that, you're going to make it. That is huge for a laboring woman to hear, because you just checked several boxes, first of all, in those specific words in this. But the fact that you're watching me, my loved one is watching me go through this thing that's very difficult, and they can't do anything about it, by the way, which is mm-hmm. particularly frustrating for men, because they want to be able to fix it. They don't want to see you hurting and struggling. And so when I hear those words of affirmation, babe, you're doing it, Callie, I'm so proud of you, that you're so strong. Oh my goodness. Like, I'm on cloud nine all of a sudden. And so it fills my heart. It fills my soul. It fills my mind. And now I believe you. And now I'm ready to go again. Like, I got this kind of thing.
Right. Right. Exactly. And so, as Micah said, that is definitely a big one for her. And during the birth experience, anything that I could say along those lines that were encouraging, you know, any way to go, you know, anything along those lines definitely boosted up her emotional, the emotional side of her. And, you know, as women who have had babies recognize, and most people generally, I mean, when you're emotional tank is full, that gives fuel to your physical body.
Absolutely.
And it's a very hard experience, no doubt about it, physically.
Yeah.
And so if you can be in a good emotional state, that helps the process.
Absolutely. Yeah. So this is a good one, you guys. This is a real good one. Okay, let's move on to quality time.
Quality time. So quality time has to do with spending time with another person. It can be just shared time, meaning you're not doing anything particular, or you're not really having a conversation. So, for example, for people who are big in quality time, just sitting on the couch watching a show together would qualify as that, particularly when there's some attention given to the other person while you're doing that.
Yeah.
Could be also going on dates, taking trips together, taking walks together. I mean, anything along those lines where you're essentially cutting out the rest of the world so that you can just be with this other person and focus on the other person.
Yeah.
That's what quality time's about.
Yeah. So obviously you're going to be in the birthing room with them. So you're physically there. I want to take it a step further with the quality time in the birthing room. There are many different things that happen kind of from start to finish. When you first arrive, if this is a hospital birth, when you first arrive to the hospital, you're going to go to triage first. And it's real important that, you know, you went to go get the bags or whatever, and you're, but being with them in every single aspect of it is what's going to fill her tank. Being close, you know, not just, you know, unless she's got an epidural and she's sleeping, then great, pull out the bed and sleep. But beyond that, you probably really shouldn't be on the couch, far away, doing your own thing. Okay. You want to be closer than that. Let's say she's going to go walk the halls, go with her. Let's say she's going to go get in the shower, be in the bathroom with her. So especially if she's a quality time person, your physical presence in every single thing that she's doing, tub, let's say she's in the tub, you know, this, maybe it's a time to grab a quick snack because the tub kind of relieved a lot of the pressure and the stress or whatever, but quickly go over there to her, you know, be with her.
Right. I mean, the person in that situation, the woman in that situation just gets strengthened and just getting love from you just by your mere presence in the room.
Yeah.
But there has to be a focus though. Mm. So if I'm in the room, if I had been, say, back when cell phones weren't common back then when our kids were born, but if I'd have been in the room where Micah was giving birth and she was going through these contractions, various things, and I'm, even if I'm sitting beside her, but I'm on my phone playing a game, that kind of deal, then it takes away from the feeling of quality time.
Yes.
And so it is about not just being together, but it's about focused time being together.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. And that's really key. And I think, you know, you might feel like, well, you know, not a lot I can do, you know, in the birthing room. It's like, I'm here, I'm physically here. But yeah, Michael's right. Try to be a little bit more focused and intentional about how you're there, that she really gets your physical presence. And Michael said just now, and I think this is really key to point out for all of the ones we're about to talk about, he said it strengthens her. That is the point. If you're a loved one and you want to support this laboring mom, you want to strengthen her. Because she has got a lot of work to do in front of her. And so every single time she gets her tank full, it strengthens her to keep going, you know? And that, as you can see, and as I'm talking, hopefully I'm connecting some dots here for you, that is huge, that she is feeling strengthened again, because it's a lot of hard work.
Right. That's right. And sometimes we forget that, you and I have had this conversation, but sometimes we forget that loving someone is for them.
Yeah.
And so the real basis of love is laying our own lives down in a moment,
right,
in order
yes.
for the other person to experience the love that we're trying to express in one of these ways or others.
Right. And, you know, they talk about childbirth oftentimes as the labor of love. And it's true. I mean, this woman's definitely laying down her life for this baby. I mean, given everything she's got, right. And as a loved one supporting her, you can do the same thing. Even though you can't give birth, you can't do all the work. There are so many things that you can do. And this, like I said, this is one of the tools that Michael and I are sharing with you guys today to really use to your advantage in the childbirth world.
And now a word from our sponsors.
Hey guys, have you heard about Blossom Shop in Clifton, Texas? For all of your floral needs, for special occasions and important events, whether it's a wedding, a baby shower, a birthday party, or hint, hint, Christmas right around the corner and that fun party that you want to host, Heather Rest has got you covered for all of your floral needs.
All right, let's go to the next one.
The next one's gifts. And so a gift is something, obviously, that you give to them. This is more of a physical thing.
Right.
So, you know, there are other ways that we can, I suppose, give gifts to one another. But this is specifically talking about physical things.
Yeah.
It could be something that you make. Could be something that you buy. Could mm-hmm. be something that you already have. But it's a physical representation of your love toward them.
Yeah.
And, you know, the need that meets or the desire that might meet could be a lot of different things.
Yeah.
But at the bottom, the bottom line, though, is that a giving of a gift and where the other person can receive it is the way that they get the love.
Right. And I think this one gets a bad rap sometimes, the gifts, because I think oftentimes people want to automatically go, oh, materialistic. Oh, my gosh. All they want is stuff. And that's just not it. I heard a very good friend talk about one time. Her love language was gifts. And the way that she put it is, you know, it's not even necessarily about the thing. It's that what that thing represents is that you were thinking about me. You know me that I would like this. That is the part that speaks love to them. And so now here's this symbol, just like a wedding ring. Here's this symbol, this gift you've given to me that reminds me that you're thinking about me, that you care about me, that I'm important to you, that you're listening to me. You remembered that I want this. That's what it's what's significant about it. And so maybe if your sweet wife is, you know, a gifts person, you might have to do a little bit of investigating on the front end and maybe have some significant or special things that you have already prepared that you're taking with you guys to the hospital. So here's one example. I have a family member. I have some friends that the cardinal red bird, man, is super significant to them. And every time they see a cardinal, whether it's a real cardinal or a picture or whatever, there's something about it that really stirs them, motivates them. It means that they're being thought of, that they're loved. Oftentimes it's connected to God. Oh man, he is for me. He sees me. You know, he gave me a red cardinal today. You know, I got to see, so it's significant. So in that situation, you could prepare for childbirth and pick up something, some small object that represents this red cardinal that she can see. Like, it speaks to her in that moment. And the love that she's going to get from that and the symbolism of that is really going to help fuel her throughout that birthing process.
Sure. And, you know, it may be that with gifts, because, I mean, in the middle of contracting right. and all, you're probably right. not going to just lay a right. present out there. That probably wouldn't right. get the desired result.
Yes.
But maybe it's leading up to
yes.
the labor time, you know,
yeah.
you may spend a few days doing those sorts of things and maybe that'll give enough of an emotional boost that mm-hmm. once the laboring commences that, yeah. you know, she'll have that in reserve.
Yeah. Cause the point of the love languages is to show her that you're there, that you're with her, that she's not by herself, that you know her, you're for her, and that she, you're, that's being represented in a very significant way for her, so that she, again, doesn't feel alone, and that she knows I'm having a baby with this person that I love, and it's all going to be good, and that we're good, and that we're connected, and he's with me, and he's, you know, it's significant. So that, that again, just reminding you guys of the point of that. Next.
Next, acts of service. So acts of service would be something that you do for someone that they could do for themselves, but you do it for them as an expression of love. So grocery shopping or washing dishes or anything along those lines.
You Michael know. And I are smirking and smiling, and like it's almost like flirting when he says washing dishes and going to the grocery store for me, because that's a huge love language for me. I don't like to go grocery shopping. I hate it, but he loved it. And so it is, it speaks love to me every single time he does it. And so very, this is a big one. I mean, if you are an acts of service kind of person, there's all kinds of ways that someone can give to you and bless you in this way. How do you feel like this shows up, Michael, in the middle of childbirth, the acts of service?
That's kind of tough because there's not very many things
right
in the middle of labor.
Yeah.
That you could do along that. I mean, what's really important, right?
Right.
At that moment, washing dishes, mm-hmm. grocery, none of those things are really important.
Yeah.
So I'm,
I think what you said earlier with the gifts thing, even about the preparation point, maybe you spent the time to collect all of the significant essential oils that she wants to have at the birth, and you packed them all up for her, mm-hmm. You know, a couple of the things I think about as a doula, because this is kind of physically focused, this acts of services, you know, I'm making sure she's got plenty of water and ice and I go get it for her. I mean, she can't technically do that. I mean, I guess she could, but you know, getting her a cold washcloth to put on her head, holding her hair back or the bucket as she throws up. I mean, I know those are, I mean, they're very specific to childbirth, which is kind of what we're talking about, but anything that you can do in the birthing room, like a job. And I'm going to tell you, if you're at a birth, no matter who you are, there's no observers. You're going to have a job. Like, maybe it is taking the pictures or the video that you know she's going to want later, you know, if you're a loved one in the room. But yes, it is. What can you physically do? A job, massaging her back. You know, I know that's also part of physical touch. But when you think of it as, you know, in the birthing room with a job, then it can fall into this category of acts of service.
Right. No, I think the things you mentioned are good, you know. The things that she could, I suppose, do for herself, get up and go do X, Y, Z, get a washcloth, get some water, whatever. Yeah, those sorts of things definitely would fall into that category.
Yep. Okay, physical touch.
Physical touch, I think for a lot of people, they immediately think of intimate situations. Mm-hmm. But really, while that is an obvious part of physical touch, it's just a small part.
Yeah.
People who enjoy physical touch just enjoy small, little, non-intimate touching.
Right.
So, for example, just walking by somebody and putting your hand on their shoulder.
Yes.
Or, you know, reaching over and holding their hand. Or, you know, giving them a hug randomly. Or a massage or, foot massage or whatever. Mm-hmm. Any of those sorts of things would definitely fall in that category.
Yeah. And this physical touch, when you guys, from a loved one, particularly if it is a spouse, this is even like a triple threat kind of scenario here, this physical touch, because when you get that physical touch from your significant other, we're producing natural oxytocin, which is basically what Pitocin is, synthetic though. And oxytocin is huge in the birthing room. It's a hormone and it releases, you know, relaxins, and it makes the contractions stay strong and effective. It helps move things along. It meets emotional needs. And again, particularly when it's by a loved one, it's a natural product of that. And it is very significant in the birthing process. And so that's why I do, as a doula, I will bring that spouse in for the slow dancing, because we're accomplishing many things in that slow dancing process. She's standing up. We're letting gravity help for baby to come down. We're moving, which also helps baby come down and helps you dilate more. Now the arms around you and the movement of the sway, which is like a rhythm that kind of keeps her focused and engaged and relaxed and producing natural oxytocin. I mean, y'all, physical touch in the birthing room is huge. This is a great opportunity to accomplish many, many things. It's communicating many things. It's supporting her in many ways, and it affects her physically as well.
Right. And, you know, I know that when our kids were born, you know, that was a big thing mm-hmm. for you too. I was also struck by, oftentimes there were several other women in the room, mm-hmm. Some of, you know, midwife type of folks, but other just friends and
yeah.
family.
Yeah.
And, I think women naturally gravitate toward this.
Yeah.
Particularly in that kind of setting.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe even more particularly if they've had children themselves, mm-hmm. because they really understand what you're going through.
Yeah.
And it's like it seemed like a comforting mechanism,
very.
And it seemed also something that was just very natural mm-hmm. and that people didn't really give any thought to. They just did it.
Right.
And, right. you know, rubbing arms or hands or feet or mm-hmm. just, you know, hair, any of that, you know, I saw that happen quite a lot.
Yep. Yep. And, you know, even I'm going to suggest to, especially, any of you dads that are going to be in the room, if this feels a little bit out of your element and you're like, ugh, I don't know that I can do this. Birth isn't really my thing. I'm nervous or worried. Listen, if you are sitting near her, holding her hand, telling her how proud you are of her, hey, you just checked a lot of boxes. Okay. You checked almost all five mm-hmm. of those love languages just by sitting beside her, being close, being present, not shutting down, not focused on something else, focused on her, holding her hand, that physical touch, communicating how proud you are of her. Man, I can't believe how strong you are, babe. You've accomplished a lot with that. So I don't want any of you guys stressing on me here. Like, oh my gosh, they just need 50 things that I can do. Nope. You can just hone in on one. If that's all you can handle, you know, just hone in on the one, because it's letting her know you're there. You're with her. You're in the trenches with her as much as you can be. And that will strengthen her.
And you know, also and by the same token, you shouldn't try to force things.
Right.
And sometimes in the moment, you can really get a very strong indication of what their love language is not.
Mm.
Because, you know, some women, they don't want you to touch them at all.
That's right.
I would doubt very seriously that her love language is physical touch, if that was true. You know, but I also think of the one story that you had where the dad, he was so apprehensive about mm-hmm. being in the room that he wouldn't be in the room.
Yeah.
And I think, at least in this conversation, I hope her love language wasn't quality time.
Right, right, right.
He was like peeking through the door, but he did not want to be in there. Of thing. So.
Yeah, that's a story in my book, in the chapter, yep, there's a man in the room. And not, look, there's going to be extremes. And they knew when they hired me, he is not going to be able to do this. And that's okay. I mean, it is. It's okay. But what I'm trying to say is I can remember one dad. I think I have this in the book too. He literally sat in a chair. She was in the bed. He sat in a chair, held her hand. His head was down. Like, he wasn't even looking at her. He just had his head down and holding her hand. He didn't say anything. That's all he did. But that's all she needed. She knew that was his capacity. But he gave everything that he had. You know, he showed up as much as he could. And I think Michael's right. You don't want to force anything. I mean, you know, don't be offended either, you guys, if your particular words of affirmation don't sound the same as maybe my words of affirmation. And there's plenty of women that are like, shh, stop talking. Like, you can't say anything. And I don't know exactly what all that's about, but as a fellow female who has done the work and has been in birth like she has, I think oftentimes it feels a little bit more genuine when I'm telling her, you've got this. Don't worry, girl. You've got this. You're doing it. Then if, you know, your husband says, you got this, you're doing it. It's like, wait, you don't really understand what I'm doing. So I'm not sure that's going to land. And so that's okay. That happens often. You can easily find your role and a way to be a part of it. Because I promise you, she does want you to be a part of it in whatever capacity you can be. Michael, do you have anything else along the lines of love language?
Well, I was thinking, and not to go back through the book, but you could see a lot of these in the book in different stories. You know, the one guy that they were maybe trainers, and I mean, he was really loud with her, and but that was her apparently words of affirmation.
That's right.
She was getting in. You know, I think you could probably find most of these illustrated somewhere in your book in these different birth experiences that you've been to. You know, I guess I would just say that like a lot of things, this is a tool, and the tool is to learn better how to love your better love your spouse or your significant other or your children, the people in your life, you know. And I think all of us have experienced attempting something that we wanted to use to express love.
Right.
And it wasn't received very well. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's a little baffling. And, you know, maybe the book would give some insight into that. And also in terms of discovering our own, oftentimes we find that the things we gravitate toward in terms of doing, a lot of times that's ours. And so anyway, I have found it to be, you know, very helpful. You know, the more you can understand the person you're with, the better you are able to love them.
Absolutely. 100%. This has been a lot of fun. I always love doing episodes with my husband. We did one early on. It's called It's Personal, and we were literally talking about each one of our birth experiences. So if you enjoyed this one, you'll probably enjoy that one as well. Thank you for joining me today, for tuning in and listening, and we'll talk next time. Thank you for listening to My Doula Micah. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube at My Doula Micah. We can also get connected at MyDoulaMicah.com. If you're interested in checking out my book, the link to The Humor in Birth, Stories and Insights from a Doula can be found on all of these social platforms. Be sure to share and subscribe. I'll be here next week, so please be sure to join me again. And this podcast was produced by Rogue Media Network.
This has been a Rogue Media Network.